I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World on this Wednesday. What we know for sure and what we've been told about Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, as of now, those are two different things. Last week, Khashoggi walked into the Saudi embassy in Istanbul, then he disappeared. We know he was worried about his safety in general. Khashoggi was a critic of the Saudi government, who became a legal resident of the U.S. in 2017, as pressure on him mounted. He recently told the BBC that he was concerned about traveling home to Saudi Arabia.
You see, when I hear of an arrest of a friend who did nothing that worth to be arrested, right, make me feel I shouldn't go. I'm talking. That friend of mine who was arrested wasn't even talking.
Now details are emerging about what may have happened to Jamal Khashoggi last week. Top Turkish officials say he was assassinated inside that Saudi consulate. A Turkish newspaper has published evidence that it says identifies 15 Saudis who were involved. Borzu Dargahi has been covering the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi for The Independent. He joins us from Istanbul. So let's start with the information published in the Turkish newspaper Sabah. Walk us through what they say happened, Borzu.
All over the Turkish media, essentially they're saying that a team of 15 people arrived from Riyadh, the Saudi capital, on two private airplanes from a company close to the Saudi leadership, just hours before Jamal Khashoggi was to show up at the consulate for routine paperwork, and that this team showed up at the consulate just before he came in and then left in a black van and other vehicles 2 hours after he arrived and immediately went to the residence of the Saudi consul a few miles away, and then from there rushed back to the airport and left Istanbul. In the meantime, Jamal Khashoggi disappeared. When you talk about intelligence operations and clandestine operations and so on, you're not going to get a standard of proof that might hold up in a U.S. court. But as far as we're concerned, watching the security camera footage, pictures of Jamal Khashoggi entering the consulate and then never coming out, it's pretty clear what happened.
One Turkish official compared this Khashoggi episode to Pulp Fiction. Why that comparison?
Yeah, I saw that in the New York Times, and there were some gruesome details there that can't be corroborated at this point.
Right.
But one thing that is confirmed, though, is that among the team of Saudis, there was the head of forensics and general security in Riyadh. Basically, a coroner was there, someone who's an expert in discerning and possibly hiding forensic evidence. So the grim suggestion is that this was the guy in charge of cleaning up after they did a number on Jamal Khashoggi.
I mean, the evidence is pretty damning. Travel times, photos of the arrival of these 15 men from Saudi. What do we know about how this information was obtained? How credible is it?
I think it's pretty credible. I've lived here for 3 years, and I've noticed the sort of symbiotic relationship between the local Turkish media and the security forces. Turkish security forces, you know, they're not the most adept police force on the planet. But one thing they're really, really good at, excellent, I would say, is using Turkey's many, many, many security camera networks to piece together what happened. I've seen them do it in other crimes. You know, they're also really good about having favored journalists that they give scoops to. And so I've seen this before. It's nothing that unusual that they leak this stuff to the local press. But I also think in this case, there might be a brain behind it. I think that the leadership of Turkey doesn't want to pick a fight necessarily with the Saudis. Listeners may recall the lira, the Turkish currency, has collapsed in recent months. And one of the things that's keeping the economy afloat is money from the Gulf, investment from the Gulf. So I think the Turks don't want to jeopardize that. On the other hand, they're outraged and angry and frustrated about what happened here on Turkish soil, and also under intense domestic political pressure to do something about this. And so the strategy appears to be leak to the local media, leak to the international media, put the pressure on Saudi, get them to fess up to what happened.
Khashoggi was a critic of the Saudi government, according to his colleagues, not an especially strident critic, a moderate critic, we heard from his friend Salome Namat earlier this week. Have we learned anything new that might shed some more light about what might have made Khashoggi a target?
Well, I think he was a very, very mild critic. whom I know personally, and I think he was becoming more critical. He was becoming more daring as he was further and further away from Saudi Arabia. There's also an extraordinary report in the Daily Beast. It turns out that Khashoggi earlier this year founded an Arab pro-democracy NGO. And so there's a speculation that he was about to launch some initiative that would call for democracy, renew the spirit of the Arab Spring. To the Saudi leadership, that must have sounded very dangerous. They're basically trying to hope that this goes away. And there are kind of online trolls attacking the journalists who are reporting this story, accusing them of anti-Saudi bias. They were attacking both Hatija Cengiz, the fiance, as well as other friends of Jamal Khashoggi who spoke out to the media. I think the nature of who Jamal Khashoggi was, his connections to elites in academia, the think tank world, and journalism make it very difficult for this to go away the way the Saudis would like.
How are journalists like you in Istanbul feeling at the moment?
Jamal Khashoggi is someone I know. He was a source of mine, someone that I talked to for a few years now. You know, I talked to him when he was a strident supporter of the regime. I would call him to get a pro-Saudi comment. I talked to him when he was in Saudi Arabia under bin Salman and said, "I'm sorry, Borzu, I can't say anything." And I've talked to him once he left and, you know, watched his sort of evolution, read his columns, read his commentary, spoke to him and so on. Just on that level, I think it's horrible. I think it's terrible. This is someone I knew. This is someone that I considered a colleague as well as a source. So it's devastating that this, something like this could happen. I think I have some measure of protection from this kind of thing because I'm an American. But I, you know, feel for the other dissident journalists and activists who are in Turkey. The Arab Spring produced a lot of dislocation of many people. People were, you know, spread out across the region, across the world, and they, you know, suffered enough having to say goodbye to their homes and their families. Now they have to be living in fear that the government that they escaped from is going to hunt them down and kill them or kidnap them with impunity.
Reporter Borzu Dereghahi there in Istanbul.